Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I am calling to you this year and this week from Arlington Heights, Illinois, where I'm staying with my folks for a few weeks. And I have my wonderful friend and co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady, with me today. Hello, Miss Rhonda. Are you there, Rhonda? I know I see you here.
Oh. I'm sorry,
there
I
you
have
are.
Muted my phone. Sorry, I'm here.
Don't you love that?
I muted my phone because I was pouring some coffee, and I didn't think everybody needed to hear that noise, and I forgot to unmute.
Too funny. So how are you this year, Rhonda?
I mean, it's just an amazing beginning to the year, and it just is really fun. I'm drinking coffee out of one of my holiday gifts to somebody, and just having a very good life, and I keep thinking of all the fabulous people in my life, such as yourself, for whom I'm so grateful, and it's just a great year.
Well, that sounds awesome. I'm having a great year myself so far.
Very good.
So what did you
I'm
do for New Year's?
Well, I had just had dinner with my mom, and we had a little bottle of Asti to help to celebrate, and we rang in the new year with Britain because Mom didn't want to stay up until midnight. So I said, well, about 6 o'clock, it's New Year's in Britain, so we decided to do that.
too funny. Back in 1988, Notre Dame's football team had gone to the national championship in Tempe, Arizona, and my sister and I flew out to Tempe for the game. So on New Year's Eve, which was 2 days before the game, we decided that we would celebrate in all different time zones. So we made ourselves this little picnic. We went out to the hot tub in the hotel we were staying at and got some champagne and a bunch of nibblies. And we sat in the hot tub or in like on the patio kind of thing for 8 hours. And we rang in New Year every hour for 8 hours in all the different time zones. It was so much fun.
It sounds fabulous.
Yeah.
What did you do this?
This was way back in 1988, a long time ago. And then Notre Dame went on to win the championship game, so it made it even better.
Mm-hmm. I actually,
so this year,
the only college football game I've ever seen was the Notre Dame versus Purdue game way back in about 1979 or something like that.
Ah, well, Notre Dame played Miami this weekend and won, and that by itself was an amazing thing. The Notre Dame-Miami rivalry was so fierce that back in 1991 was the last time we played one another. The schools chose to stop actually competing and having their teams play one another because every single time we would meet, the entire city would be destroyed by the fans partying so much, literally the whole city.
No.
Bars would be like totally demolished. It was terrible. And that was just because there was such a fierce rivalry. Well, this weekend's game against Miami was the first time since 1991 that we had met, and we won. And next year on October 6th, 2011, is the first time that we will meet other than in a bowl game since 91, 20 years. And the game is being played at Soldier Field in Chicago. Tickets sold out in 38 hours. They sold out the entire Soldier Field in 38 hours.
Not surprised, and that's a big field.
It's a huge field. Needless to say, I don't have a ticket to the game, but I will certainly be watching it and hoping that we have a great showing like we did this past weekend.
Well, hey, at least you're going to be able to stay warm and wherever you are and watch the game in that respect.
Absolutely. And we had a nice, quiet New Year's. Back when I was sick, one of my friends who was a nurse lived with me several of my surgeries, probably the last four, I think, because I did need round-the-clock care, and with Bill working, I didn't have anybody there with me a lot of the time. Well, I haven't seen her now since we left 6 years ago. So she came up to my folks' house from Indiana, where she lives, and she spent the weekend with us. So we had a nice, quiet New Year's Eve. We played Pinochle. We watched some great movies. What else did we do? And we ate a lot and slept a lot, but had a really nice New Year's weekend.
Yeah, mine was pretty quiet, too, which was just fine. I don't need a big to-do, so.
Yeah, I don't either. I've had plenty of New Year's where we were out in, you know, a couple $100 ahead parties and whatnot. And, you know, this year, especially with the cast on my ankle, just wasn't a year for doing that, that's for sure. And then yesterday, I started my New Year off right. I went to the doctor's. I got my staples out. I got my walking cast put on. A week from Friday, I can actually walk on my broken ankle. And he did new x-rays, and he was really, really pleased with the healing so far. It's really, really healing nicely. So that was good for a start of the year.
Glad to hear some good news about that ankle of yours. And I know there have been lots of people just visioning that ankle healed and strong and all those good things to help you in your own visioning of you just dancing for joy and having a great time.
And funny thing happened, on our way to the doctor's yesterday, the last 2 weeks since we got to my mom's house, actually since we were leaving Indiana, the back end of the car has been shimmying really, really bad. Well, a couple of days before I broke my ankle, the front end had been shimmying, and my good friend Steve Yakim from the Christmas Greetings giveaway works as a mechanic in Indiana, very close to where my doctor's office is, and literally like 3 blocks from where Victor and Elaine live. So when we had taken it in before my break for the front end, it turned out that from all the snow we had had, the snow was packed in the front wheels. And because of that, it was causing the shimmy. And the minute he knocked the snow out, the car was fine. But when he had done that, he had said, you know, your front right wheel bearing looks like it's going. We better keep an eye on it. You're probably going to need new wheel bearings in the next month. So I had started to do some visualization about the wheel bearing being okay because he said it was going to be expensive. So yesterday when we go in, it's the back wheels, not the front wheels, giving us an issue. And it turns out that because of the hill that we had to try and drive up at Elaine and Victor's, when we try to get up this hill when it was snowy, the car couldn't make it and it would slide back down the hill, oftentimes running into the curb, the bushes, something. Well, because of that event happening repeatedly while we were staying there, we blew the belts in both of the back tires. So we get two new tires, and he says, you know, I better look at that front wheel bearing because it's probably around the time that you need it replaced. And I'm like, oh, I know that wheel bearing's fine. He's like, well, it looked pretty bad when I saw it last. He goes to look at the wheel bearing. He's like, and who fixed the wheel bearing? I said, I did. He said, how do you know how to fix the wheel bearing? I said, well, because I've been visualizing that the wheel bearings are fine. And the wheel bearings were fine. It doesn't even look like it kind of sort of might need some help. They were perfect. He could not stop laughing. It was so funny. And Bill's like, you couldn't have fixed the wheel bearings. I said, well, I did.
Right. Oh, yeah? Watch me.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. And
so, you know, the things we talk about on this show, apply to all areas of your life, even fixing your wheel bearings.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, I mean, I'm using that in also, I mean, visioning is actually our topic today because around the new year, people start thinking of what they want for the year, and so it's a perfect time to revisit this in depth and, you know, show different ways to work with it in different areas of your life. Well, I raise chickens, and some of our listeners may know and some may not. So our chickens are free range, which means there is not a pen for them. I mean, we have a lot of acreage where I live, and there is no convenient way to just put a fence around an area. And the chickens exist partly to help eat the bugs so that people who come here or us, we don't get eaten alive by the bugs that are out in the summer. Well, it turns out that chickens are both very entertaining and funny and really birds of little brain. We'll just say it that way. So they have this tendency of wanting to cross the state highway that we live next to because they must think there's some really juicy, delicious bugs on the other side. I don't know why. We have 12 acres over here. It's not like there's nowhere for them to be, but they like to cross the road. Well, they don't know, look to the left, look to the right, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I decided that I was going to create a mental barrier so that the chickens could have a signal that they were not to cross the road. And I have been using this, and what I've noticed is I set it up to be a couple of feet inside the grassy area just ahead of the road. And so I have this kind of big wall. I mean, I can actually feel it as I pass through it myself. I'm like, oh, that's a pretty good wall. I kind of startled myself one day with that. So I noticed that they'll come right up to the barrier, and then they won't go past it, and they'll just turn direction and go a different way. So every day I just reinforce this barrier. I vision the chickens staying over here, being very safe and very happy, and it's wonderful how that actually is working for us and for those chickens.
Oh, how neat.
Yeah, yeah. So see how visioning isn't just one of those, oh, yeah, okay, vision your outcome and, you know, whatever. You really, when you get into it and you start realizing the power of it, you can apply it in any area of your life. And animals respond more to pictures than anything. And I can't sit the chickens down and go, listen, kids, it's dangerous over there, and I don't want you hit by a car. So the best thing I can do is give them an image that there's a barrier they can't cross.
Yeah, absolutely. That's pretty neat.
Yep. So as you guys who are listening, as people can understand, that creating a vision has so many different applications. It has applications for your health. It has applications for your car, applications for animals, for people, you know, just all kinds of different situations that you can use the power of your vision. And what you envision.
Well, I just went out to Twitter and made a little tweet that says, what's your vision for 2011? Come share it with us live on Blog Talk Radio. So hopefully we can get some guests over here who can either tell us about it in the chat or even raise their hand so that we can unmute them here on the show and get people to share their vision for 2011 with us.
That will be very, very fun. And because part of the power of a vision is when you tell somebody else and that person can amplify what you do, then you invoke the power of the third mind or the mastermind that can come into play. And it's very, very
okay.
Powerful and useful to have. Have you got someone responding?
Not yet, but I want to make sure we come back to that. Let's talk about vision and what vision really is first, and then we'll come back to how putting your vision out there can invoke the third eye and whatnot. So,
yep.
Why don't you get us started? What is vision? What do we mean when we say vision? Is this just, you know, set your goals, or what are we talking about?
It's much more powerful than that. It was really funny, though. I do have a quick funny about that. Somebody one time said, can I ask you about your vision? And I said, sure. And I started to tell them what part of my vision, and he was like, I meant your eyesight. I'm like, oh.
Oh, too funny.
It was just really funny because I was able to speak without having to pause a beat and say what my vision was. And so it was really funny. They were talking about my physical eyesight because I'm legally blind, in case someone is hearing this and doesn't know that. So that's why it would have been a perfectly relevant question. But when he said vision, my mind went automatically to what's my vision for my life, for the world, for the community, and, you know, customers and all those kinds of things. So
that's too funny.
That
so let's clarify right now. We are not talking about eyesight today when we're saying, what's your vision?
Exactly. We don't care if it's 2020 or whatever. You know, we're not talking about that. So the so your vision is not your eyesight. Your vision is about how you see your life to be, not how you are going to create it or how you wish or want, but how you create it to be in your reality. So the thing about creating a vision that we'll talk about here some more is that you are getting very specific in the present tense about what it is that you see all around you. That's a pretty big distinction between the way most people do it is they'll say, I want to, or my goal is to have something that I don't currently have, or to be something that I am currently not. Isn't that very different from perceiving it as something that is?
Yes, very different. And why is that so important?
Well, just think about the difference of instruction. So your brain, the brain is a very awesome, powerful, and wonderful thing. And in some respects, it's quite literal. So it's like if I say, just try to breathe right now and give you that instruction or give somebody that instruction, that would mean that there is something stopping you from actually breathing. No, you don't try to breathe. You just breathe. Right? So...
yeah.
That's the same type of thing with vision. If you say something as if it's out there away from you and it's something that you don't have, then you are forever seeking it. And you are never possessing. You're always wishing, wanting, hoping, imagining, but it's always far away from you.
And if you instead see it as though it is, eventually you'll see it so clearly that it will become your reality.
Mm-hmm.
And that might seem too simplistic. That may seem like a bunch of baloney, but it's really how the universe works.
Right.
So when you're looking at your vision, is this what you want 50 years from now? Is this what you want this second or something in between?
You are going to create a vision as it exists now. I'm not going to say as if it exists, but you're creating what exists now, and you are continuing to affirm what it is that you want to have, so what you want to experience in your life. So, Gina, when you were earlier talking about the whatever piece it was inside your car.
The wheel bearings.
What was that? Bearings, yes. Okay.
The wheel bearings.
Yes. Wheel bearing. So when you were visioning that, you had to have some understanding or at least look at a picture or somehow know what it was supposed to be when it's right. And then you...
Yeah, I went online and looked at... I did that exact thing. I went online and typed in wheel bearing Chevy Malibu. I had
right.
to know what my wheel bearings looked like.
Exactly, and I wouldn't have known what they would look like without that, so I would do the same thing. If I didn't know what it was like to have that experience or to see that as whole, right, good, and perfect, then I would do the same thing. Go and look it up so that I had an image. I might even save or print off that image or whatever so that I could continue to go back and look at it if I wanted to refresh my mind. So in seeing it as correct and imagining that's your Chevy Malibu that now has this perfect, the perfect wheel bearings, it sets that very thing into motion. It's not, oh, this is going to get fixed or it is somehow going to get better. It is perfect right now.
Absolutely. So at the beginning of each year, what you're really doing is you're setting out what your vision is for that year, as if it existed at the beginning of the year, so that by the end of the year, it can become your new reality. So the vision can be as comprehensive and as detailed as you want to make it. Mm-hmm. Don't just think about what you want in your personal life. Think about what you want in your personal life, in your business, professionally, for your friends, for your family, for the world. And see it in your mind's eye as though it is right now. So what does a day look like? What does a week look like? What are you doing? Who are you doing it with? And in what way is it affecting your life and the life of others? If you can really get clear on that in a very detailed way, the more detailed you make it, the more likely it will be in reality.
Absolutely. And often what will
now,
what is a good thing to do, go ahead, Gina, I'm sorry.
Now, quite often I hear people who have this concept of, okay, I'm going to create my vision, and they then start looking at one of two things. Either there are those who will start looking at, well, is it really realistic? If I'm only making $1,000 a month right now and I want to make $100,000 a month, is it okay for me to put that $100,000 a month into it for my vision? Then the other extreme is those who don't even look at what is possible or what is reality, and they just say, well, I want to be the richest man on earth. And so they start to craft the vision around being the richest man on earth. Which one's right?
Well, my goodness, you want to, it's really an interesting thing. You don't have to worry about realism in one sense, in that if you haven't made, $10,000 a month, it doesn't mean that by the end of the year you couldn't. And you don't have to worry about the how, but you do want to make sure that it's something where you can truly vision exactly what life is like. Not that the how has to be there. Not that you have to know how am I going to get from A to B, but you have to have such a clear and astoundingly detailed, sharp, focused vision that it's something you can move into. So you get into richest person in the world, you can get pretty vague and not really know what that is. So whatever vision you want to move into, you have to know what it's like. So if, for example, something, an experience you want to have might be to travel in a balloon in the air and you've never done it, you don't have to have ever done it, but you can see, find some footage of what it looks like and hear what it feels like for people and imagine that experience and have it be very clear. So whatever it is that you're creating, the how is none of your business, but the clarity is definitely absolutely critical.
So is there a vision that is too big or too small?
No, there's not a vision that's too big or too small. There's one that is, well, people tend to vision too small, but there's no reason to play small, especially when visioning your year. But just make sure that it's clarity versus cloudy.
Yeah, that's going to make so much difference right there.
Right. So if you can say, I want to be the richest person in the world, and you have a really clear sense of and what kind of experiences you have, that could potentially be okay. But if you don't have any sense, or some people say, I want to make more money. Well, guess what? If I hand you a penny, you have more money. Congratulations.
Too funny.
That's the clarity versus cloudy comparison when it comes to vision. Clarity versus cloudy. If you just say more or less of something, you know, then a slight change is going to be the difference. One penny more is you have more money.
Did we just lose you, Rhonda?
Nope, I'm right here.
There you are.
Miss Molly says she would like more bacon in 2011.
Oh, I think Fritz will join Molly in that one.
And I'll say, and how much exactly more bacon would you like? And she's looking at me like, where is it? I heard you say the word, where is it? And so she would have to say she would like enough bacon to fill up the house every day. Well, then there's, would that make her ill? And that's another story. But in her mind, she could have a pretty clear sense. She'd like this great, huge plate of bacon served before her right now.
I think Fritz would second that as well.
I'm sure he would. I think bacon is a universal dog thing, and every time I see vegetarian dog food, I'm like, oh, get real.
Too funny.
So
how do you get started in creating your vision for this year, next year, or whatever?
People tend to approach that in a couple of different ways, don't they, Gina? Sometimes people sit down inside their heads and with nothing in front of them, and they go, okay, let's see, I want this and I want that, and they just kind of think about it real quick in their head. Would you say that would be a good way to build a vision?
No.
No. Ding, 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 right answer.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that either.
So what is the right way to build the vision? Where do you start?
When I'm building a vision for a particular, whatever, it could be the coming year or for a particular thing, I like to get myself first into a very relaxed and receptive place. Because if you just use the conscious mind and you decide by the end of the year I have such and such of an outcome, your rational mind might say, well, you've never done that before. How on earth do you imagine you're going to have that this time? And, you know, you'll start to have this little mental battle going on. However, if you get yourself into a receptive state first, it's amazing how you can surprise yourself. Another thing is to make sure that you have something to write on and with right there so that you're able to just let things flow. And if you're in a receptive place first, sometimes what you write will surprise you.
Yes, it
will. And you're
will.
Writing that. Yeah. I mean, certainly I just did this a few days ago, and the first thing I wrote was really rather surprising, as I was like, oh, I hadn't really, you know, consciously thought of that before. And so it was really an interesting type of thing that came up. I'm sure, have you ever had that happen where you start to write down, do some visioning and something surprises you?
I have. And I noticed that you said something really important there. You said,
okay,
write it down.
Mm-hmm.
So write it down. Are you talking about literally writing down your vision?
Sure. You can write
Why?
It, or somebody could record it, but if it's written down, the act of externalizing it, and particularly in writing it down, assuming you have the capacity to be able to write it, but the power of writing it down is it does make it much more real. And it's like it gives, basically it gives an instruction to your brain. It's kind of an interesting thing. It's a combination of universal law meets brain science, right?
Yeah.
So universal law meets brain science. What your brain needs instruction that's in the present tense, not what will be, what is. Or, you know, looking back at the end of 2011, wow, what amazing things have happened over this past year. And that things that are already then a part of your experience. So the brain needs that great present tense. And also for things to happen, to write it down really does make it real, doesn't it, Gina?
It sure does. And whether you're typing it, handwriting it, talking it, whatever, you got to document it in some way, or getting it to become real is just not as likely to happen. And I wish I could say that there's some other way of doing it, but there really isn't. I actually really believe that writing it with pen and paper will get you much better results than typing it on a computer. The mind acts differently when you are physically writing something out than it does when you're just typing it. And drawing pictures with it, even if you're not an artist, can really help you get the clarity and the detail into place. Mm-hmm. I love the concept of vision boards when it comes to creating your vision. But I don't think that just having a vision board is enough. I think you want it written out in words, as well as then taking those words and using them to create a vision board. And I want to talk a little bit about the difference between the two. Being the story lady, I know you're going to recommend writing your vision as a story, right?
Yes, you write it as a story of this is what has happened this year, as if, you know, you're at the end of 2011 looking back on the whole year, or this is what my life is right now. That is your vision. I also am all for adding pictures that you draw yourself. I don't mind. See, I mean, I have the same issue that you do, I think, with vision boards. What I notice is people can get into a space of longing for something. If they just have pictures on a vision board, sometimes it's still out there away from me. I don't have this yet. And just looking at the pictures doesn't necessarily put you in the picture, right?
Correct.
And I imagine that's part of your same issues with vision boards. Am I right?
It is. Yep. One of my favorite vision boards that I've ever seen was on a computer. It was being used as the desktop's wallpaper, you know, the thing behind all the icons. And the thing that I loved about it the most was he created this collage, and he just used Paint. It's a program that's on every Windows-based computer. It comes with Windows. In the center, he had his own picture, and he had actually used, I think, something else like Photoshop to doctor the picture to make him look like he would look at the time that all of these things were happening. So he had a little bit of an older look. He had different clothes on than he would normally wear. And then he had taken all of these pictures of all of the things that were part of his vision, and using Paint, he was able to connect them to himself with like a line or an arrow, so that every single thing was connected in this graphic. And he was at the center of it all. And many of the things, like he wanted a car, for example, he would take his head from the picture of him in the center and put him in the driver's seat in that picture of the car. In a house, he had his picture looking out of a window of the house, that kind of thing.
Right.
That was a cool vision board.
And that's very different from the typical vision board or even the mind movies. I know people got all excited about these mind movies. And, you know, again, the same thing can happen unless you do what he did, was he put himself not only in the center of the picture, which I think is absolutely awesome to do that, but you're saying that he also put himself into the house, into the car, into whatever the experience. If he wanted a particular set of clothes, I'm sure he would have put his head on top of that outfit so that he was wearing those clothes. Or if he was skydiving or whatever, that he would be having that experience.
Precisely. And I've never seen a vision board like it. And this guy was one of the best manifestors I have ever seen. I mean, I cannot tell you the kinds of things he was able to manifest without just blowing myself away, because they were so huge. And I know that his vision board played a big role in that. At the beginning of the show, you mentioned that if you were sharing your vision with other people, it was going to bring in the group energy or the third eye or the mind's eye. And this mm-hmm. really is a part of vision and what we're talking about here with the vision board. So now would be a much better time to say that again, I think, Rhonda.
Oh, absolutely. It's nice to be able to kind of give a preview and then be able to come back and go into more depth. So I want to talk
yes.
a little bit about the third mind first. The third mind is what happens in what's also called a mastermind, where two or more are gathered unto a common purpose. There is a third mind created between them, or something that is greater than the sum of its parts. So whether there are 2, 3, 4, 400, or 4,000, or whatever. In other words, when you unite with someone else who holds the same vision with you, not only do you just give it by a magnitude of that one person, but it's a geometric progression. It's more than the sum of its parts. It's more than however many. If you had 10 people, it's not just like 11 people. It's really 10 magnified and amplified because of that power of the third mind, of that sense of almost a physical type entity and energy that gets created between the people that are sharing that common vision. And so it's really, really very powerful to have that third mind energy. And for a lot of people, it can be easier to imagine somebody else's outcome and clarity and what they want and as them having it, then sometimes it can be for them to do it for themselves. And so this gives you some practice. As you come together with somebody else or a group of people and you're willing to go and amplify each other's vision, just imagine how much more quickly you can then manifest what it is that you are bringing into reality.
It really does. The guy that I'm talking about with regard to the vision board, I just wanted to look up it, the website. You'll find it askggg.com/prosper. askggg.com/prosper. My friend's name is Antonio Thornton, and he has a product that really talks about the law of attraction and how he used it to manifest so many different things in his life, including $100,000 in less than 5 days when he was flat broke. I mean, like flat broke, and easily manifested $100,000 in 5 days. It's a little $7 product, but it is an incredibly powerful product.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, that's great, and I'll make sure that that link gets added to the show notes and to the post that I make after our show, and I would love to have him as our guest.
Oh,
wow.
You know, that's a great idea. Remind me after the show, and I will get you in touch with him.
Yeah, great, because that would be just absolutely phenomenal to have him as a guest. So
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
askggg.com/prosper.
Prosper. I love that. Okay, great. So we'll be able to have him. I'm already envisioning him being one of our guests, and I'm excited about that. This will be fantastic. So
back to the mind's eye and what we were talking about.
Right. So back to the third mind and this extra oomph of power that you get by sharing a vision. It's so incredibly powerful. And when you can get together, whether it's one other person or a group, and you want somebody who is very clear in their ability to focus their mind so that you know it has to be someone who also can see not what will be in the future, but what is. See it as it is now represented in your experience. And you need to share your vision with them with so much clarity that they can then see it in their own mind's eye, and they can then share that vision and then help to amplify it with you. And I think that's
and,
an
you
important
know,
thing.
Those people who really share their vision with others will manifest so much more during their lifetime than someone who kind of, sort of gets clear on the vision, but, you know, is so leery about really making that their reality that they can't even express it fully out loud to themselves, and much less share it with someone else. When you're really questioning, can this be my reality? Or, oh, maybe, but I don't know if I could ever do that.
Or
don't
I don't know
think
how.
You're going to get it. Yeah, I don't
right.
know how. If you cannot see it clearly and believe it, you're never going to find a way to manifest it. And it will become a self-fulfilling prophecy. The more skeptical you are, the less likely it will be to become your reality. The more
yep.
positive you are, knowing that this is your reality, not that you can manifest this reality, not that you can create this reality, but that this is your reality, the more likely it will be to truly become your reality. And more often than not, the how takes care of itself and may even feel like it happened in a miraculous way. Back
right,
when I was going through my transformation, I didn't know how I was going to heal myself. I simply knew that I was well, that I was whole, that I was not dying, that I could walk, that I did all these wonderful things. Didn't know how, just knew that I was. And every morning, I would start my day with going through each body part from head to toe, being grateful for the body part, and really feeling how healthy and well it was participating in my life. And it literally took less than a week for each body part to actually start reacting to that visioning and becoming exactly what I was telling it already was.
Mm-hmm. So when you started your day this way, was this something that you spoke inside your head or spoke out loud, or did you record it and listen to it? How did you do that?
I started it with just thinking it to myself. I'd lay in bed with my eyes closed, starting at the top of my head, working my way down to the tips of my toes. Within about a week, I was starting to see these changes that got me so excited that I actually started doing it out loud. And I would just lay in bed every morning, take 3 to 5 minutes to go to each and every body part, thank them for being a part of me, be grateful for them, and just express out loud. My head feels great. It's so healthy. It's so vibrant. It's wonderful to have the top of my head be a part of my life and my day today. Then I go to my mm-hmm. eyes. My eyes are so wonderful. They're healthy. They feel great. I'm so grateful for having my eyes be a part of my body and a part of my life today. Then I go to my nose, and I'd literally go through each and every body part all the way down to my toes. And my fingers, my toes, I'd stop at each finger. Be grateful and thankful for how great my thumbs were and how great my index fingers were. And I'd do every single body part.
Mm-hmm. And your organs, too,
and
I'm imagining?
As many parts as I could get in, at least the biggies. I may not get every single individual organ, but certainly my heart, my lungs, my liver, my stomach, my whatever. You know, the
right.
the main ones,
the main,
we got an awful
ones,
lot
yeah.
that's part of us. We could make it a two-hour ritual if we wanted
least,
to pretty
yeah.
easily. You know, so I would limit it to about a 5 to 10 minute period, but as many of them as you can get in.
That's fantastic. So you started, you said, by doing it inside your head, and you noticed that even that helped. Then you started to speak this whole thing out loud every day. And what did you notice, Gina, in terms of the results that you were getting and how quickly they showed up?
They started out very quickly. By the end of the first week, I was actually able to wiggle my toes, when at the beginning of that week, I couldn't wiggle my toes. The second week was when I could finally flex my feet, because I couldn't do that. I could bend my knees. And could actually, by the end of the second week, actually stand up on my own without somebody having to be there holding me up. So when I started doing this out loud, the changes happened faster and bigger.
Right, because you made it external, not only inside your head, but by speaking it out loud, you know, just think about what happens when you speak something out loud, you actually put a vibration into the air because of the sound waves. I mean, it's the physical aspect of sound waves, right? And so by putting that physical aspect out into the air, every piece of air, if you will, or every molecule of air touches every other molecule of air in the world. So imagine how much you are then magnifying everything. Words are very, very powerful.
Absolutely. And it took me a good 2 weeks before I was confident enough to even share it with Bill, my husband. I didn't tell him I was doing this when I first started. The whole first week I was doing it quietly laying in bed because he was still sleeping next to me. The whole second week he was still laying in bed next to me, still snoring and sleeping, and I was saying it out loud. He still didn't know that I was doing anything during that second week. But by the end of the second week when I could stand, I decided it was time to bring him into the equation. And let me tell you, that third week with him knowing that I was doing this, changes happened even faster. And many days during that third week, he'd actually wake up and watch me as I was doing this little ritual. Sometimes kind of snicker and laugh at me, but that was okay. Sometimes by the end of that third week, he would do it with me, but not on his body. He would do it being grateful for my parts and repeating the same phrases that I was about how healthy and well and vibrant each body part was. And guess what? Yep. It again got bigger results faster.
And that's the power of the third mind that's created. It's not only the two of you separately and even more than the two of you together. It was that additional geometric growth of energy that came because of the two of you focusing on your healthy, vibrant body parts for which you are so grateful to have a part of your body and a part of your life.
Exactly. And you can really do this with anything. I did it with my health, but there's no reason that you have to limit yourself to only doing this for health. You can use this for anything.
Absolutely. You can pick something. I would say just pick one area to work on at a time, right? For you in that time, your health was a great big deal and a great big need, and it was a great focus for you at that time. But it could be done with relationship. It could be done with business. It can be done with any aspect of your life.
Absolutely. When we needed a new motorhome this summer, we did it similar way, but I was seeing my body parts being a part of a new motorhome. What does it look like? What does it feel like to touch it, to stand in it, to be a part of it? What does it sound like? What does it smell like? The more of the five senses you can actually get into that visualization, the more it will become a part of your reality. So don't just limit yourself to seeing it. Feel it, touch it, smell it, hear it. Get all five of your senses as much as possible into your visualization. The one that is the most powerful, and I cannot tell you why, I just know that it is the sense of smell. If you can smell the new car smell of the car that you want and feel the seat beneath your buns and the steering wheel within your hands, that sense of smell will really, really help to get bigger results faster.
I can actually shed light as to why that is from a brain science perspective.
Ah, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
So of the five senses, just let's think through them a minute. The sense of vision, eyesight, needs to be interpreted and needs to be. Something comes into the retinas and the message is transferred to the brain, and then the message is interpreted, and then the information is sent back. You're looking at a ceiling fan or whatever. The same type of thing with touch. I'm touching the leather seat with my hand. So the touch, the sense goes from here's a stimulus touching the fingers, going through the nerves, getting interpreted, going, I'm touching the leather seat of a car and the shape of it and all those type of things. And the same thing is true with hearing. With smell, the nose, there's this little piece of the brain about the size, it's like a pea on a string that hangs down. And your nose has almost direct access to the brain and, furthermore, to the limbic center, which is where emotions are processed. And emotions are what really carry this vision and manifest it. And so that would seem to me to be the physical reason for why smell is so powerful and why that manifests so much more. And it's like I have a particular cologne that I love that reminds me of prosperity. And I feel prosperous. Whenever I smell that, it's just, it's a trigger for me. And so I wear it pretty much every day, and that's Chanel number 5. That, for me, is a scent that is, to me, part of a prosperous lifestyle is that scent. So if I had a vision board, I'd spray it with Chanel, you know, every day. but, yeah, smell is extremely powerful, and that's why if you've ever gotten sick on something, the smell of that food, in the presence of it, you'll probably start to have a little bile come up.
Absolutely.
Or your favorite
grandma's recipe. It's amazing how our mind works, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And so the fact that smell tends to bring it about, you know, to me, go and really think and look for what would be the smell that's associated with whatever it is that you're bringing. If you have to go to a car dealership or whatever, a motorhome dealership, and smell the inside of a new motorhome and plant that in your mind, in your memory, so that you can then let your nostrils flare and smell it every day as you're bringing the new motorhome to be, then that's great. Go ahead and do that.
And I want to mention something here that's kind of related to this, and that is the memory part of things. Your mind can play tricks on you like crazy, triggered by the memory.
Yep.
When I was in the hospital a few weeks ago, the day they were releasing me, they had to change my cast, take a hard plaster cast off and put on a fiberglass cast that was a little bit lighter. And
right.
When they did that, they simultaneously changed the bandages following the surgery. I had decided I didn't want to see what my leg looked like when they took the cast off and changed the bandages. I don't have sensation in my legs and feet, and I knew that when I didn't know where the incisions were, where the staples were, for sure, I had an idea, but I really didn't know where they were. If I felt something, I could tell my mind it was just playing tricks on me and make it not believe that there was pain there. Oh, no, your incision isn't there. You're being goofy even thinking about pain there. And the pain would go away. So yesterday when they changed my bandages again and they took my staples out, I again kept my eyes closed so that I couldn't see where the incisions were. And for the most part on the inside, I didn't feel any of the staples coming out. There were two on the outside that I did feel, because I have 13 spots that have sensation, and that was one of them. You know, ever since yesterday, the two parts where I could feel the staples have been hurting me like you wouldn't believe. And no matter how much I tell my brain, there's nothing there, I don't know why you're even thinking it, my brain knows that there were two staples there because I felt them coming out. The rest of it, I can make my brain stop thinking that there's pain there just by telling it it's nuts, there's no incisions there, so there shouldn't be any pain. And it's really, really amazing how the memory is what triggers the thought, which then causes you to have a belief. If you can use this whole process of getting all of your senses in and use it to create a memory that triggers a response, whether it's true today or not, it can easily become your reality. And you can trick your mind into believing that it is very real right this minute. Or if it's something negative, that it's not very real. I'm so sorry, Rhonda. Why don't you talk for a minute and I'll mute while Bill gets
I will
dog shut up. I'll be right back.
And it's really amazingly powerful that your brain is and the power that you have. Now, so, for example, a friend of mine had been diagnosed with cancer and was going in for, or they thought there was cancer and was going in for x-rays, and I remember saying, don't look at the x-rays. Instead, find an image of an x-ray of a healthy arm, as in this case that's where the issue was, and a healthy arm, what that looks like, and use that vision of the healthy arm to guide you, because if you look at that x-ray and that you start to study it and you start to
what
really
a great idea, Rhonda.
There is, yeah, instead see the healthy part. And did she listen to me? Unfortunately not. And then she was imagining those x-rays, and I said, that's the thing I told you not to do. Imagine that you could have the image of the healthy arm.
Yep.
In this case, her issue was right up near the joining of the arm and the shoulder. And I said, if you see a healthy arm, then you can keep that vision and keep saying to your body, no, that's healthy tissue. It's beautiful. Look how clean the x-ray is. It's, everything is so healthy in that part of my body and in that part of my body. And how powerful would that be?
Sorry.
That's okay.
Are you still there? Yeah, go ahead. Sorry
yep,
about that.
I remember
go ahead, talk.
Looking at research that had been done years back in the late 70s, when they first started realizing the power of the brain in illness. And a lot of times for cancer patients, they would have the people imagining, like, you know, to pick whether it might be was Star Wars or, you know, the good knights and the bad knights or whatever type of things, so where the good guys were winning. And I remember at the time thinking, well, why would you want to imagine a battle? Why wouldn't you just imagine everything being so strong, so healthy, so vibrant, that there just was no room for there to be any kind of sickness? But yet still, in a lot of the research of Bernie Siegel and some other people that did that, they a lot of times would use that kind of battle imagery that the good cells were winning. So I just thought that was kind of an interesting thing. So how about just imagining health like what you're saying, and you noticed all the miraculous transformations that you were able to bring to your body and to your life and other areas besides health by having that positive, powerful vision.
Now I muted myself and forgot. Sorry about that.
Hello, did you undo me?
Funny. Well, I think that is a really great suggestion, Linda. You know, I've never heard anyone else making this suggestion about seeing it and the memory of what it causes. What I have heard people talk about is cellular memory, where your cells experience your life. And even in the absence of your brain remembering something, the rest of your body can really be triggered by its memory as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you can cause your memory to remember things differently, you really can cause yourself to see things differently. And this is really related to the topic that I call uncovering the underlying fears and beliefs that are activated within you. And if you
right.
really want your vision to become your reality, you've really got to look at the underlying fears and beliefs that might be keeping you stuck where you're at. This is a great time of year for both creating your vision as well as for looking at the underlying beliefs and fears that may be keeping you where you're at. And they really are the memories that are causing you to see things one way versus another. And I really had never done this before with not seeing my incision and using
uh-huh.
it to cause me to perceive things slightly differently. And this was the
right.
first time I had ever done that, but I knew from everything that I knew about the topic of how the universe works that it should work this way. I just never done it this way before. And I've really been amazed at how powerful this was. And I shared this with the doctor when I was there yesterday. He's like, why don't you want to see it? It looks great. I said, well, I'm glad you know it looks great. I know it feels great, and that's enough for me. And if I see it, maybe I'm not going to see it as it looks great. I know what an incision looks like. Been there, done that way too many times. And I know to me, because it's on my body, it isn't pretty. It's ugly. It's grotesque. And I don't want my mind thinking in those terms, or it will affect my healing. And he's like, you know, I never thought about that before, but I think I'm going to have my patients close their eyes in the future. That's a really good idea. And I'm not kidding. It has really made a huge difference in the amount of pain that I have experienced as a result of the ankle surgery. I have the pain of the break because I have the memory of seeing my foot at this really bizarre angle. It was like definitely not the way your foot should be. My foot was going off at maybe like a 35 or 40 degree angle to my heel. And that's not the way your foot should go. I know that that looked that way. And the memory of that makes me feel the pain of the broken ankle. But it's really just pain created by the memory. It's not pain that's real. If I chose to remove that memory, and I could walk myself through some processes of removing that memory and remembering it in a different way, even the pain of the break would totally go away.
Right. Absolutely. And so the difference was that you saw, and so your brain said, wow, I broke my ankle. That hurt. And you... Because of that, not looking at the incision, I don't care how much they've healed, an incision is not a pretty sight. It's not something that I love to look at on anybody. I certainly wouldn't want to see one on myself either. So not looking at that...
Yeah, and it's just... It's that belief that we're taught, right? We're taught, if you see a line that looks like the skin has been torn, that has a scab on it, it's a cut, and a cut should hurt. Whether it hurts or not, it now hurts, because it should hurt. It's just the beliefs that are underlying things. And this works the same way with your business. If you're going along doing all the right things, you're getting products to sell, you're writing your blog posts, you're doing all the right things, and you've never made any money from it, or maybe you've only made $100 in a whole year, this underlying belief of, I do this, I don't get results, is going to continue to be there, and no matter how perfectly you do it, no matter how many times you do it, the outcome is never going to change. It's still stuck in the belief that I do this, I don't get any results. If you can see, like, do a mock-up of what it looks like to go into your account, in your affiliate account, and see $10,000 worth of commissions being due to you. Now see that. Actually draw a diagram of, I do a blog post, I do these things, here's my result of $10,000 in affiliate commissions. And then go do that for real, your whole outcome is going to change because your belief changed.
Right. Take out your smart pen if you have one of those. Wouldn't that be a powerful way to do that?
Oh, man, would it ever.
Because you can draw and speak out as you're drawing. It doesn't make any difference about how your art is and all the rest of that. Just to get yourself the idea, here is me writing a blog post. Here is the blog post publishing. Here are all these X number of people, which you can figure out from your processes, you know, who are coming to the site, seeing this article, clicking on this link. Here are these people buying this. Here is this money being transferred. You can talk yourself and walk yourself through that. And you can then actually go through that every single day because you can save that pen cast for yourself.
Absolutely. What a powerful, powerful concept. To change your beliefs will change your reality. And I think sometimes people hear the idea of, okay, my underlying beliefs and my underlying fears are keeping me in my reality, but what does that mean and how do I fix it? And I don't know what I believe and why that's really doing things. I think this has been a really good discussion of the topic,
right,
in a way that people can really see what we're talking about when we talk about underlying beliefs and how those beliefs can really affect your reality.
Let's say, Gina, that somebody is, they're doing the right things, whether it's in their business or in some other area of their life, and they're not getting the result that they believe should come from that. And maybe they're saying, I wonder if there's an underlying fear or an underlying belief. How do I know if there is? And then how do I not have that? How do I change that reality? So how are they going to do that, Gina?
Well, you know, last week we had Dr. Michael Craig as our guest on the show. That was last week, right? Yeah, it was last week.
Yes.
And
what?
Michael walked us through a series of questions that you can use to help uncover the beliefs that are underlying your non-results. I can't remember the questions. He said them so eloquently. I would love for people to go back and listen to last week's show and even write down the questions that Michael asked.
Yeah, December 28th, 2010, Gina, and I just mentioned that because if someone's listening to this on iTunes, I want to make sure they can very easily find that particular episode of our show. And yes, he did a beautiful job.
Let me see if I can even go in maybe and get us a link directly to that show. Let me go create it real quick.
All right,
it'll be
absolutely
at askggg.com/Dr. Craig, Dr. Craig, C-R-A-I-G. askggg.com/Dr. Craig, C-R-A-I-G.
Okay, great. We'll put that into the notes as well. All right, I've got that in the list. Sorry, I have a hard time talking and typing at the same time.
I do as well. Okay, I got
that
FGGG link created for everybody.
Yep, I've got that link, so I will add that into the show notes as well. And I think that is a good show. And I think this is a good one because what I have noticed and why I selected this particular topic for today, right at the dawn of the new year, is because in working and being around some of your clients in the various calls that I'm on with you, and as well as things that I'm seeing show up for colleagues and clients and friends and whatever, I felt like it was really important to go a little deeper because people do hear things, oh, well, just change your beliefs, and they hear it's, you know, using affirmations or using visualization, and they just know it on a superficial level and wanted there to be something, you know, in one place where we could go in depth on it. So I think this is really a good thing for people to get some understanding just of the inner workings of the powers of your mind and how you can let it work for you.
Yeah, definitely. So how does this all play into what you do this year, Rhonda?
Having this powerful vision that you create. And earlier I talked about first getting into a nice, quiet, receptive place where you can be with yourself for a few minutes first and then crafting that vision and then being able to repeat that for yourself every day. Make sure that you have it written down. You then find yourself acting in ways and calling to yourself the people, the experiences, the tools, whatever it is you need to work out the how that get you to that end result. And it's part of why you don't have to worry about how. The universe is a big place and there's lots of different strands of people and experiences and whatever that can go into a how. That's none of your business. That's not for you to concern yourself with. It's just putting yourself into the right frame of mind to, it's like you cannot, if you're saying that you want to eat an ice cream and you're not in a place that has any and you want to have that experience, you got to put yourself where there's ice cream. So
yeah, very, very true.
So this, by creating that vision, helps you to put yourself in the place where these things can come about without you having to concern yourself with the how. You'll start to find that you meet just the right person. Or even can be funny things, like occasionally I've heard a line on a sitcom or a TV program or something where it just triggers something else in my mind, which triggers something else and makes me go, oh, well, how about such and such? And it's amazing things can happen through the oddest little ways, right?
Correct. Now, I think it can help to understand this if you hear a little bit more about vision and goals. There's a difference between your vision and your goals. Your vision is the big picture. It's describing your reality as if it were right now. As you define that, it will have within it a number of goals. The goals are the outcomes. So if you describe what your vision is, within it, it will imply that many different things are there, whether you have them right now or not. So you start by creating the vision, and then you go back to look at the vision to define the goals that need to be met in order for that vision to become your reality. As you define those goals, they become your long-term goals, the outcomes that you are wanting to achieve. And from that list that you create, you then want to work your way backwards to find the mid-range and short-term goals. So let's just say in looking at your vision for this year, at the end of this year, you're planning on becoming an Amazon best-selling author that will generate leads from the sale of your book. Those leads will then will buy your coaching program, and you'll have 250 students in your coaching program. You will be causing a certain outcome for those students as they participate. Well, there's lots of goals implied in that. So one of them is becoming an Amazon bestseller campaign or Amazon best-selling author. That's a long-term goal. A mid-range goal in that is that you do a book launch of some sort to get people to promote your book. And a short-term goal from that is you got to write a book. There are many different pieces of that. And not only do you want to get the vision on paper, you then want to go back to figure out what goals need to be in place in order for you to have that vision become your reality. If you're stumped on how to do that, I have a couple of things I can suggest. Number one, in lessons 1 through 3 of the 30-day challenge at askggg.com/30day, you'll find in lessons 1, 2, and 3 the pieces of creating the vision, defining the goals, and planning the short and long-term goals.
Got it?
Yeah, I know. What? And then in addition to that, you'll also be able to find some help in the goal-setting package that's included as a bonus with the Miracle Motivational Package at askggg.com/miracle. There's a whole course that I have on goal-setting specifically. It's got a 3-part audio series. There's a PDF. There's a goals worksheet that you can use. I think between the free challenge and the very reasonable Miracle Motivational Package, anyone can get really clear on setting your goals. If you've never written your goals down on paper, now is the time to do that. I've had some interesting experiences in the last 6 months with some of my students that really made me look at goal setting in a slightly different light. I've had students these past couple of months who just could not get their goals down on paper. And it baffled me. Why could they not do that? And just like with your vision, the more detailed and specific the goals are, the easier they will be to manifest. And getting the details and specifics into the goals was simply impossible for these students. And as I worked them through the process, what we realized was that on many occasions, these students had actually written goals down in the past, some of them even like 30, 40 years ago. But never had they actually achieved their goals before. And because they hadn't achieved their goals, there was this underlying belief and fear within them that said, well, if I write them down, then I'm not going to achieve them, so why even bother getting my hopes up for this at all? It's never going to happen. It never happened before, and it's not going to happen now. And the minute they realized that there was a difference between the way that they set goals before versus the way we're talking about goal setting now, they were finally able to actually sit down and detail out those goals specifically and have actually, in relatively short periods of time, 1 to 2 months, started actually achieving both short-term and even mid-range goals. And just getting yourself started with getting the short-term goals met will propel your beliefs to change so that you can start believing that, yes, indeed, you can start realizing your goals, no matter what they are, no matter how big they may seem. This whole process of working your way backwards, starting with the vision, and from the vision, defining the long-term goals, and then looking at what needs to happen in mid-range and short-term to achieve those, is really a different process than what most people use to do goal setting. And it's one that will make it so much easier to ensure that you do reach your goals. If you do this strategically, starting with the end, working your way backwards to your first steps, it is impossible to fail because you've planned it out on purpose. Even with breaking the goals into the mid-range and short-term goals, you're still not worrying about the how. You're worrying about the what. The how takes care of itself when you understand the what and the why. The how, for the most part, you can actually even outsource, because it's not necessary for you to do it. It's the strategic plan, the whole process of outlining the goals and the outcomes that causes the money to be made. It's not the how. It's the what and the why.
Right. That's a really interesting insight. That was their underlying beliefs getting in the way and just knowing what was going on, and them saying, well, let's practice on, you know, setting it up, and then you've got a an immediate goal to be able to realize that, yes, you can meet your goals because this is such a different method for making the goals happen.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
That is. I'm really excited. I'm excited that that they're having that kind of success, because it's never fun to feel like you're just not getting anywhere. So that's great.
Yeah, and until you actually define the vision and the long-term goals, your life is not really something in your control. You're just kind of letting yourself go wherever life happens to take you. You're not living your life on purpose. And if you're not living your life on purpose, you probably don't feel very fulfilled. The minute you take control by defining the vision, you now have the things you need to actually live your life on purpose by then going to the next step of defining the goals. And you will automatically start feeling happier, more fulfilled, under less stress, and your life will really become abundant just by going through this process.
And it's really fun. That's an easy way to get to that feeling of abundance, is through clarity.
Isn't that neat?
And it's through isn't that cool? I think it's very cool. Just taking a little time to follow a proven system that gives you the guidance, because that's where a lot of people don't have any guidance. Goal setting, if it's taught at all to people, it's usually taught in a very way, well, do this and, you know, see what happens, as if hope.
Yeah.
You know, Hope is not a strategy for anything. So
I don't know about you, Rhonda. I did 19 years of Catholic education. I went to some of the best universities around. And I never got taught goal setting in school. Did you?
You know, a little bit. We did a little bit of goal setting, and I was in a Catholic high school. That's where I think I learned some of it. But it was definitely not in the way that you're talking about in your goal setting programs and the Miracle Motivation Package and so forth. It was much more the typical way of just plan what you want to happen and steps out there, but there wasn't a sense of this backward planning from the larger long-range goal and then breaking that into where you need to be in those intermediate places.
Yeah. If anything, it was, okay, what do you want next week? What do you want next year? What do you want 3 to 5 years from now? And you were just kind of putting things into the appropriate category. Never have I heard people talking about it in reverse order the way we're talking about here.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It was more like just putting things into a box of, okay, here's a five-year goal. It wasn't, here's a five-year goal, and then to reach that, you need to have this by the halfway point or whatever. It was nothing like that at all. And so that gives a very different experience of goal setting, and it's something I really believe if the school taught that to children in the way that you're talking about, we'd have so many things moving better and having a better experience for people.
Yeah, not this no children left behind or no child left behind kind of thing that's going to pass people into the next grade whether they really know what they're doing or not.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And,
so,
you know, for those who are listening who are parents, really do this in your own life and then let your children learn from your example and really teach them what you're doing so that they can use it in their own life. I created the goal setting system that I use today and teach today back when I was in the third grade. But it was more out of a necessity. I knew I wanted more than what I had in the third grade, and I knew that I needed a way to do it. And I'd ask anybody that I could talk to, my teachers, my parents, the librarian, anybody that I could get to listen, what I should be doing. And no one really had a good answer for me. And so it was really out of that necessity that I came up with, okay, well, I don't know what else to do, so let me do something. And over the years, I tweaked it a little bit here and there as I came up with new knowledge and saw what happened as a result. But you and I have had this discussion before. I achieved unbelievable things at very, very early ages, totally because of the goal-setting system I created in the third grade.
Right, and that's just amazing, and it shows. I like how something that you created in third grade is now is helping you build your business and prosper. Isn't that awesome?
And it's the foundation of my entire life.
That's right. Your entire life, your entire business, and not only the business, but those other areas too. So it's just so powerful how you take the vision and you add the goals to it from that perspective of planning backwards from your long-range goals and what that means in the middle and what that means for the day-to-day so that get there, and that's how you're going to put yourself in the place for things to happen, even without knowing the specific how.
Absolutely. Your short-term goals and your to-do list are one and the same. You don't have a to-do list that will help you to reach your short-term goals. Your short-term goals are such small components that they are your to-do list. And each time you finish one of those to-do items, don't make the mistake that so many people make and cross that off of your to-do list as if it's now no longer there because it's no longer needed. When you're crossing it off of your to-do list, you're actually causing yourself a lot of harm. You're kind of taking your accomplishments away. Instead, let them stay on the short-term goals list, but reward them with a gold star. So that now you're celebrating each and everything you accomplish instead of telling yourself, oh, it was bad, it was wrong, let me cross it off my list. totally different perspective. Huge difference, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very big crossed off. It's like, why did I bother? It's not a part of my life anymore. Whereas when you're adding it, I mean, just physically and emotionally, that's just a huge difference when you're actually recognized power of what.
I can't tell if it's my phone or yours, but one of us is cutting out.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know whose, so I'm sorry about that.
Oh, it's better. Thank you. It's better. It could have just been Blog Talk Radio, too.
It's probably Blog Talk Radio. I didn't change a thing.
Yeah, I didn't either. Anyway, let's just remind folks of some of the links that we've mentioned in the show today. So if you're finding yourself kind of stuck, and you're looking for some help at uncovering the beliefs that are keeping you where you're at, you want to listen to last week's radio show at askggg.com/Dr. Craig, D-R-C-R-A-I-G. And that's the December 28th, 2010 show here on Relationship Marketing 101. And then we also mentioned the 30-day challenge that you'll find at askggg.com/30-day. And to really get started with your goal setting, I really can't recommend the Miracle Motivational Package highly enough. You'll find it at askggg.com/miracle. askggg.com/miracle. And I can't thank you enough, Rhonda, for having us talk today about the concept of vision. What an awesome thing to do at the beginning of every year. And again, at the end of the year, take inventory of where you were at the beginning of the year and how far you've come, and really celebrate all that you've accomplished in that time. I know that if people really follow what we've talked about today with regard to vision and goals, you will absolutely have 2011 become the best year of your life. The results will be bigger than ever before. At the level of satisfaction that you will have for your life and your business will be bigger than ever before. What a great way to start the new year.
Absolutely, it really is. And so report back to us. We would love to hear the results that you get from applying the strategies that we're talking about. And we would be absolutely delighted to hear back from you. And you can friend us on the Blog Talk Radio show. And if this show is helpful to you, we invite you to give us a 5-star rating as well. And that lets the Blog Talk Radio folks know we're doing something that serves you well. So we appreciate that, and it's just amazing to do this show with you, Gina. I always enjoy it very much.
Well, you are one of the people that I am most grateful in my life for, Rhonda. So thank you so much for all that you do for Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I really appreciate you. And we will be back next Tuesday. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, I appreciate you, too, and yes, we will be back next Tuesday.
At noon Eastern here on Blog Talk Radio for another episode of Relationship Marketing 101, and we will have a guest next week. I don't even remember who it is. Do you?
Ellen Violette will be with us next week.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, I haven't talked to her in years. She is the ebook lady. I can't wait for her to be with us next week. So we will see you all next week. Same time, same place here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a wonderful week and really get clear on your vision for 2011 so that 2011 can become your best year ever. Have a great week, everybody.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.